Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome. We should begin by stating this sentence is the only place where we will discuss Taylor Swift, but merely to say we will not be talking about Taylor Swift. Try not to watch NBC because of that. Instead, let us talk about the current media obsession of the moment, which is, of course, the latest legal actions against Donald Trump. On Friday, the front page of the Washington Post was, Trump trial jolts its way to 12 jurors. It's not a tabloid, but it sounds like one. Page one of the New York Times went with, in Trump trial, even its name is a hot topic. Some prefer hush money. Alvin Bragg said the payment to Stormy Daniels was election interference. Isn't it funny? We would argue that these trumped up legal cases in Manhattan should be defined as election interference. Jury selection began in the trial on Monday, pushed by Democrat Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, presided over by Judge Juan Merchan, whose daughter Lauren is a big Democrat fundraiser, including for Trump-hating Adam Schiff. That's why there's a gag order, because Trump shouldn't be allowed to say anything about these Democrats, Bragg and Merchan. Joining me today to discuss Trump on trial is managing editor Curtis Hauck.
Hello.
On Wednesday, Curtis, you pointed out the pro-Biden media is now enjoying talking about a split screen of Trump on trial, Biden on the trail.
I mean, this is just state-run media. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, Mary Bruce, obviously the worst. She continues to create a rather large audition tape to replace Karine Jean-Pierre if Biden wins re-election. You have Nancy Cordes. You have Gabe Gutierrez and Peter Alexander. I mean, all of them are coming out and doing exactly what the Biden campaign wants, that they're trying to seize on. They're trying to create this moment. Biden going to Wawa, Biden going to Sheetz, Biden holding.
Did he go to both?
Yeah, he went to both.
Oh.
One he went on the one day, one he went on the other day.
All right.
Wednesday he went to, Wednesday he went to Sheetz, and Thursday he went to Wawa. He ordered an Italian hoagie with American cheese, which.
Oh, which is a little like John Kerry, who I believe he went to Philly and ordered a cheesesteak with provolone, which is delicious, but it's not the way they do it.
Right, yeah, that's just not it. And he got a bunch of soft pretzels and a low-fat probiotic Greek yogurt or something like that. And I'm like, you don't go to Wawa for that.
Well, did you see the video where apparently they gave him a dollar bill or something and they told the guy, like, the president's going to give you a tip, just take it.
Like, it's so weird. That entire... Yeah, it's funny because they had to clear out a Wawa for the president to go in, which normally is a hellscape because in Philly they're just closing down Wawas because, you know, because of the crime. No, and it's kind of impressive. My reaction to this was, oh, well, these networks must have gotten their visits to Delaware to talk with the campaign about how they want to shape this. Biden's not commenting on the trial, but we're going to comment on it for him. That's really the way that they want to go about this. I mean, this is the exact framing that they want for this election. They want to say that Biden's in control and he cares about the people while Trump is just venting in a courtroom.
All right, so let's actually run the a video clip package you made that has some stenographer, yes, Mary Bruce and some Nancy Cordes. Here it is.
Well, President Biden is trying to seize this moment and create a real split screen, leaning into his roots here in Scranton, arguing that he and Donald Trump have very different values. He says that he understands the middle class in a way that Donald Trump simply never will, saying that Trump will always put the wealthy and himself first. And while the president has been careful not to comment on the details of Trump's trial, he has been taking more swipes at his rival, joking about Trump's legal debt and telling supporters here last night that he would never take advantage of a woman. Now, the president is spending 3 days here in Pennsylvania this week. It is the battleground where he has spent the most time, by our count, visiting more than 30 times since taking office. Michael, the president well aware this state is a must-win.
Two very different schedules for our presumptive presidential nominees, as former President Donald Trump spends the week in New York in a courtroom for jury selection in his criminal trial, President Biden is out there on the campaign trail with multiple stops in the state of Pennsylvania.
The Biden campaign is clearly looking to play up this split-screen moment where you've got former President Trump holed up in a New York courtroom for much of the week while President Biden is on the campaign trail here in the nation's largest battleground state for 3 days this week.
His rival is in Pennsylvania. President Biden popping into his childhood home Tuesday and stumping with supporters in Scranton.
When I look at the economy, I don't see it through the eyes of Mar-a-Lago. I see it through the eyes of Scranton.
New fundraising figures show the Biden campaign brought in nearly double the Trump team's haul in the first 3 months of this year. The Biden team has used some of the money to open 14 campaign offices across Pennsylvania and to hire 24 staffers in the state since February.
But we just have to make the point. Yes, this is exactly the way they want it, is that Biden's people basically made both of these things happen, at least the Jack Smith cases. They try to say, the reporters will say, Trump didn't make the Alvin Bragg case happen.
Right.
But Alvin Bragg's prosecutor here left the Biden Justice Department.
Yeah.
Then he worked for Letitia James against Trump.
Amazing.
Now he's working for, they would make all these connections.
Can you imagine, like, if somebody from, like, the Meese Center Heritage, like, left Heritage and then joined,
a like, prosecutor of Biden's.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the idea that they were trying to make Robert Hur sound MAGA. I mean, they were, you know, they're...
A Maryland Republican is somehow some, like, massive MAGA person. Like, come on.
He's like a regular Michael Steele. But this is the way they've done it. They did it on you. Your thing was on Wednesday. They were doing it again this morning on Friday. I noticed, you know, CBS Mornings opens with the eye-opener. And this is the clips they had. And that was jurors selected in the first criminal prosecution of a former president of the United States. And then right next to that is more than a dozen Kennedys endorse Biden. And then they add this Daily Show host of the moment mocking Robert Kennedy Jr. for losing the backing of his entire family. I mean, the whole thing is like a Biden PR package.
Yeah, the president wants to talk about this, so that's what we're going to talk about. And I think I said this, I thought of this week and in the past. So often during the Trump years, Tim, the president's schedule would say, we're going to talk about veterans today, or we're going to talk about energy or life or something, you know, or give the Medal of Honor to somebody. So, like, things that are relatively unobjectionable and fairly bipartisan. If they would get mentioned on the cables in particular, the networks would just ignore it. The cables would tell you, well, the president is trying to distract from the Russia investigation by, like, hiding in front of veterans or wanting to talk about, like, school lunches or something like that. Whereas with Joe Biden, when he wants to make a certain thing the message of the day, the media comply with that.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked.
This is very much like the Clinton years, Curtis, and that is that there was the... Generally, when the Kenneth Starr investigation was at its height as a news story, which would have been in 98 when he was investigating Monica Lewinsky, there would basically be two stories. There'd be the story of, here's Clinton going out and talking to people, you know, wherever he was going. And it's like, oh, and it's being distracted. The special counsel's distracting from Clinton's presidency. It's the same thing.
Side note, that was what CBS's Deborah Pata did about, oh, the concern for defending Israel is distracting from the poor kids in Gaza. Or like the we saw that with WikiLeaks and Hillary Clinton in 2016 very frequently. Andrea Mitchell in particular, Kyle Drennan would write about that she would say on MSNBC and then on NBC, she'd be like, this is the thing that won't go away. Like, it's somehow a burden. It's preventing the news media from talking about whatever Hillary's doing on the campaign trail. It's this exact same thing where liberals are blameless. They can do no wrong. And that if they're not able to talk about their message of the day, circumstances are preventing them from doing it.
Oh, speaking of Wawa, Curtis, this was before your time. Mitt Romney went to a Wawa.
Went to a Sheetz. And I specifically remember that because I was actually at that rally.
Okay.
I was at that rally where he talked about the Sheetz and touchscreens and how great it was.
And Andrea Mitchell was down his
throat or whatever, trying to attack. He's not a man of the people.
They butchered it. Yeah, they deceptively edited the clip.
Right.
Because they ran a clip of him just saying, oh, you could go into a, you know, go into a gas station and click, click, and it's so amazing. It's the coolest thing ever. And they tried to make it seem like Mitt Romney has never seen a touchscreen before at like a gas station or like at a restaurant, a grab and go place before. And this was, well, first, this is 2012, so that was kind of, stuff was only starting to come out. It's like George W. Bush in the grocery store.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, H.W. Bush, yeah.
Yes, in 92, where they tried to say he didn't know what a scanner was at the grocery store. You know, no, that's Sonny Hostin, who never goes to the grocery store.
Right.
She has people for that.
Right, and we had this thing that one of the first couple stories I did with Newsbusters was when Chelsea Clinton had her oldest kid. And they had they would have the Clintons on, and you know, with a lot of Clinton Foundation stuff, the infamous Aaron Burnett special with the Queen of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
and they would talk about like, oh, you do a lot of babysitting, right? And I'm like, are you?
They have a nanny.
Yeah, Bubba is doing babysitting. Are you serious? They'd be like, he'd hand it to the Secret Service agent. He'd be like, I'm busy right now.
Well, I mean, look, let's say that maybe they did that sometime. The whole point of this is the way, you know, in these sorts of things where it doesn't really matter that much.
In retail,
that
yeah.
They're going to say, the Republicans, you know, are these pampered rich guys that don't know anything. Biden's doing this right now. You know, he's like, I'm for the middle class, and he's not, you know, and the media will push that. They'll push that. Is Biden poor now?
Right, well, and they're going to run clips of Trump outside the courtroom. He's venting. He sounds angry, obviously, like anybody would be who dragged into court. They're not going to be like, oh, boy, you know, look at this day the Lord has made. Nobody's going to do that when you go into court like that. So, they create that perfect contrast by, yes, Trump is obviously very upset, again, as anybody would be, contrasted with Biden holding hands with little kids at his childhood home. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pampered, state-run TV. You know, that's the kind of thing you see in other countries.
Let's point out what you can find at Newsbusters on this. Our man Rich Noyes, offered another study as the trial began on Monday, that the big three failed to identify Trump's prosecutors as Democrats and absolutely not as elected Democrats in 90% of stories. And that 90% is almost too generous a number because NBC right. has this habit, like one out of four stories, they'll actually mention that somebody's a Democrat. And ABC and CBS are like, no, we're not going right. to tell anybody that he's a Democrat.
Chiron, even like the Chirons, yeah, they just don't care.
And then earlier in the primary season, in January and February, Rich found, as he's found before, the legal problems of Trump made up about 55% of his total coverage. And then he pointed out in 2023, more than 70% of Trump's total airtime on these networks is Trump scandals. And Rich did these numbers when Trump was president. They don't want to cover Trump's policy statements, mm-hmm. Trump's policy agendas. You know, they can't believe now that somebody would think the economy was good under Trump because they wouldn't talk about the economy under Trump. They wanted to talk about Russian collusion.
Exactly right. And this is something that I've talked about for months now. When that study came out, the most interesting tidbit in that study for me at the end of 2023 was the fact that the amount of time spent on Trump indictments and intrigue was almost 10 times, between 9 and 10 times more than discussion of policy by the Republican field. So Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, et cetera. So that means this is where the media's priorities are. When they want viewers to, when they think of the Republican Party, think of Trump indictments, Trump scandals, Trump. They do not want voters to think about what does Donald Trump believe? What did Ron DeSantis believe? What did Nikki Haley believe about the economy, about education, about inflation and gas prices and foreign policy? Because the reality is, given especially the economic indicators, people trust Republicans way more because the numbers are bad. I mean, we had the latest report today I was telling you about. Good Morning America and NBC Today had stories on mortgage rates continuing to soar. GMA is pretty good about having, You know, anytime we hit a new high in record credit card debt, they'll have a story about that. And then obviously, again, when you talk to pollsters, Republicans, that is Donald Trump's best issue, the economy. So we're not going to talk about the economy. And when we do, we're going to try to make it, we're going to try to Benghazi or VA scandal this, where Joe Biden does not, the president's name does not come up at all. Because they know that if they end up talking about the issues, again, no matter the issue, whether it's like foreign policy, the chaos, you know, going on in the Middle East, or what's going on here at home at the border as well, education with the student loan handouts, the Democrats are not popular. So the way you do it is you focus on Trump trials and you focus on abortion.
Well, this is why, but they will focus on Biden and the student loans because Biden wants them to do that.
Right.
But they don't, a lot of times when they talk about that, there's never any Republican objections to, oh, excuse me, Mr. I'm for Democratic norms. You're saying, I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I'm pumping out this money.
And it's clear the media have made this decision that aside from student loans and maybe abortion, they have decided to ignore the Biden campaign. And this was the thing that Franklin Foer got into with his book, where the Biden campaign is frustrated with the in Biden White House. The regime is frustrated with the news media because they aren't doing enough puffball pieces about Biden policies. The media, I think, have made this decision because they have such a, you know, AA-level addiction to Donald Trump, or psychotic, crazy ex-girlfriend addiction to Donald Trump, and the sugar high that he gives them, and the hits and the clicks from years past, and the injections of money, web traffic. They'd much rather make this campaign about convincing people to not vote for Donald Trump as opposed to try to get people to vote for Joe Biden. Because as much as Andrew Bates may send them angry, snarky messages telling them, you need to talk more about how great Biden is, and Karine Jean-Pierre can talk about how Biden has put in the work. She talks about it all the time. Historic investment. He's done the work and he will continue to do the work. They realize that it's way harder to make that argument than it is. It's way easier for them to just say, look at all this stuff going on with Trump and Stormy Daniels and all those unsavory details and Alvin Bragg to try and drag Joe Biden across the finish line.
And you're exactly right. I mean, that when I looked at the numbers that Rich had and how little the Republicans were allowed to speak, I mean, Nikki Haley last year, before she was the only candidate left standing, I mean, she got what, 6 minutes or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Yeah.
And I really strongly suspect that the reason that these challengers to Trump were not getting airtime, well, obviously we can guess, because they want Trump to win. But yeah. There's also the notion that what were they going to show them doing? Because they would always complain that the Republican candidates weren't slamming Trump enough.
Right.
Yes, because they were out in debates saying Biden's terrible, and they're like, we're not running sound bites saying Biden's terrible.
Right. They're talking about Biden's, you know, DeSantis talking about his record in Florida, the state of Florida's economy, the things that he was doing, fighting Disney, Nikki Haley talking about from her perspective at the UN, talking about what a disaster that is, and how they're vehemently anti-Israel. Obviously, those are sound bites that the media were not going to be interested in. And that's why when they would come up, they would be saying, well, they're not talking enough about Trump like we are.
Now, we can acknowledge that there's probably going to be times where Team Biden's like, you're not being pro-Biden enough. This is the comedy of Democrat presidencies. And that is that a Republican president, whether it's Trump, whether it's Bush, and those are obviously very different people, no Republican ever expects the media is going to be nice to them.
Right.
But the Biden people are all like, oh, no, we can't accept that Trump's coverage is 90% negative and that you're willing to puff us up. You're never doing enough for us.
Right. And that's what's really amazing, that like if you're the news media, they're like, we're on your team. So why are you kvetching and bellyaching to us? I mean, we're creating a portrait here that is meant to help you, but you want the adulation. And the Biden campaign, the people obviously know this, but they just don't want to accept it, that the media have decided the way we're going to help you is by not talking about you and talking about the other guy.
And look, we would probably know this instinctively, which is they do not have the same love for Biden that they did for Obama.
No, there's not the level of history, and there's not the oratory as well, because Biden didn't or Obama. Obama wasn't going out and talking about his brother getting, uncle getting chopped up in New Guinea.
Yep.
Or talking about Bo every, like, talking about a dead family members every couple of seconds or wandering off stage. Because you have those moments that, oh, when they do are pressed about it, they just say, oh, he's focusing and everything. But with the broadcast networks in particular, they only have so much time and so much of it scripted. Whereas with cable, it's a little bit looser. They can acknowledge these things and come up with some sort of spin for them. CNN, MSNBC frequently say, oh, these gaffes mean that he's human. That means he's likable. He's just like you and me. Whereas the networks, they don't mention it at all because they know that trying to get those short sound bites with a doddering Biden is just not going to work.
Well, and this is where we have to underline, and Jeff Dickens has done the work on this. I'm sure he's going to have a new list because this was a good week for
yeah.
this. Is that, yes, he makes this weird statement. He basically implied twice that his uncle Ambrose, who was shot down in 1944 over New Guinea, was somehow eaten by cannibals. You know, we're so sorry, Uncle Ambrose.
What's so
You
funny.
Were delicious.
Yeah, there's no evidence to this at all. Where are the fact checkers?
Yes, there's no, there's, they won't use the word no evidence for this.
Right.
It's, it, the Defense Department says the plane was shot down into the sea, not over land.
Yes, but, so, you know, yes, so maybe some fish ate him, but like,
yeah.
New Guinea.
PolitiFact actually had a piece today by Lewis Jacobson that tried to say, experts find it highly unlikely he was
yes.
eaten.
Yes.
I mean, that's, and there's nothing on the truthometer. There's no pants on fire or false.
That's frequently what you see with Kessler on days when you open up the print edition on Sundays and you see this big section, but you don't see the little logos for the Pinocchios at the end of it because they're just like, yeah, probably wasn't great. Okay, bye.
Kessler has this way of saying, well, I talked to the Democrat, whoever it was, the Biden people, other people, and they said, sorry, we won't do it again.
We didn't mean
and,
to.
And then there's no Pinocchio.
We didn't mean to lie. I mean, that's kind of the thing that you have very frequently. FoxNews.com is a piece that I talked about last night where it says, like, they're always given the benefit of the doubt. And you've talked about this as well in your stories about these fact checkers. They're given the, when they look at Democrats and they write posts because there's not even fact checks, since there's no ruling ascribed to them, that, oh, it's our bad. They have good intentions. Yeah. Their hearts are in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's not just Trump, but Republicans, they don't just like play fast and loose. It goes beyond that. It is they're maniacal.
Well, I mean,
in their lies. And obviously, we understand we live in this podcast. We live in reality where with your show here, we've talked about how Donald Trump plays fast and loose with the facts all the time. We're not here saying that everything he says is correct.
Obviously, but yes. Other Republicans get the same treatment. This is why you know, we did this study of PolitiFact and said the Republicans in general, Trump included, 75% are going to be mostly false or worse. And today you were like, hey.
Colin Allred.
Colin Allred. How's Colin Allred? And I'm like, and I was like, ooh, let's look at PolitiFact. One fact check, a mostly true. You know, meanwhile, Ted Cruz has 159, you know, since he was elected to the Senate in 2012. And, you know, I made this point back years ago, which was Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren ran for the Senate in the same year, and Ted Cruz was attacked over and over again by PolitiFact as false, and Elizabeth Warren didn't have a fact check when she was running or for a year or two afterwards.
It is simply astounding, folks. Like, if you put names of major Democratic players, cabinet secretaries, figureheads, aides that appear on TV into PolitiFact, you're going to get a lot of not found.
Hunter Biden still doesn't have a page.
Exactly. Jen Psaki, I think, has
had two. Or she did. I haven't checked it recently, but yes. Psaki almost never got one. Karine Jean-Pierre has almost never gotten one.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really do reporters or journalists very much, even cable hosts. But when they do, it's Hannity.
Waters.
It's Waters. It's Tucker Carlson still.
Got
I mean,
them.
That's...
yeah.
They have this little page they used to curate called Pundit Fact. You can still find it there. But that is overwhelmingly conservatives.
Right, it's Fox News. And they would just say, well, these are the shows that are most watched and that they do lie, so we have to call them out. But what it shows then is they're not even watching. They're not even watching. And the conceit then, too, is, okay, so you're saying your media people don't care about. Oh, okay.
Well, again, it's the same thing, which is if Rachel Maddow says something that's grievously wrong, it's like her heart's in the right place. I mean, that that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's run this through. You watch the Friday morning shows. Jorge Bonilla found last night there was no coverage of the cannibals.
Yes, but cannibals, but the Kennedys, yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is one of those things that bothers me. And as you know, I am one of the primetime Kennedy haters here. It's perhaps not Christian of me or Catholic even to despise the Kennedys the way that I do. That they are not America's royal family. They might be, you know, America's crime family. No, I won't go that far. But it's, I did like somebody today when they had this tweet of one of the Kennedys saying that Trump's a big liar, and they showed a photo of Ted Kennedy's car. you know, I mean, it is, every time a Kennedy endorses a Democrat, they treat it like an enormous big deal. So they all did this last night.
I remember even in, I was a sophomore.
2008?
Early 2008. So I was a sophomore in high school, and I remember that.
Ted and Caroline.
That rally, just like.
Oh, they were over the moon.
Ugh.
That's what Biden doesn't get. I mean, I'm sure if we compared Ted and Caroline endorsed Barack in 08 to last night, it's not going to have the same goo. And that's sometimes Biden sort of resents that he can't be Obama. And it's like, dude, I knew Barack Obama. Barack Obama was a friend of mine.
Yeah, exactly. You, sir.
You are
sir.
Not Barack Obama.
Yeah.
That's not to say I love Obama in any way, but they loved his, what they would consider eloquence. And yeah.
And the history of it, you know, they loved Michelle Obama's fashion sense because they would, the way they talked about America, the way they viewed their political adversaries was all in lockstep with the media.
So, yes, here's something they're not doing, Curtis. Jill Biden's fashion sense.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I said you hashtag, shout out to my friend, hashtag the factual prep. A great follow on X, aka Twitter. She's talked about that. Yes, Joe Biden.
She run those pictures of like, what's this heinous thing she's got on?
Yes.
Where is Robin Givhan at the Washington Post?
Just know, you know,
this
honey.
I would say this if somebody said, say something nice about Karine Jean-Pierre, and I would say, she dresses well. Her outfits look nice.
She knows what she's. Yeah.
That's the really the best thing you can say about her. She looks good. She dresses well.
She knows what she was doing.
She should be counseling Jill Biden.
Right. Whereas,
don't wear that heinous quilt of a shirt.
Whereas, yeah, Saki definitely needed some fashion sense, like glow up.
Oh, but I think she did that on purpose.
Right. Well, and she,
wanted to look like a professional woman.
And her shtick is she tries to come off as like nerdy.
Right.
She always try. She tries to be like, well, I could talk forever about this thing because I think it's really cool. And, you know, yes, she's always worked on campaigns, but like when she was in government, she would work at the White House, but she also was the State Department spokesperson.
Right.
So I feel like that's a little bit different. In between the administration, she was a commentator on CNN, but she also was at the Carnegie Endowment for Peace.
But here's the interesting part. You know, when she was in between and she was a regular, like on Tapper show, she had the same fashion sense. But it seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, they're dolling her up at MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
They've actually made her hair look like it's not a flattened mess.
A glow up because, too, they see Maddow doesn't probably want to do this TV thing for a while longer. She likes being with Susan. Her life partner.
Well, she has no fashion sense because she just wears black all the time like she's female Johnny Cash.
Right. She'd much rather just be at their log cabin in Western Massachusetts, you know, in the middle of nowhere drinking Yingling, which sounds great. But so like, and Nicole Wallace is Nicole Wallace. I mean, people watch her for her rhetoric. So they need somebody else to kind of be a star. And Dylan Byers at Puck had written about this when she kind of first took over. You see that now, Saki not just having Sundays, she has Mondays as well. Say to Chris Hayes, Mr. Beta Male, go take a hike for an extra day. You know, that it's, you know, a lot of the stuff is on purpose. It doesn't just come out of nowhere.
Let's just do a minute or so on, and then I want to get to Mayorkas. Yes. Jen Psaki played us a clip of John Legend doing an interview with her.
Oh, astounding.
And I guess that's coming Sunday. But, you know, this is something that maybe we don't do the Jen Psaki show enough, because we start from the premise of everything in the next 60 minutes was purely designed by the Biden White House, or what she thinks the Biden White House should be saying. And she does so many softball interviews with Democrats, and that would include
the weekend routine. Like, yeah, that is purely like something a political consultant designed.
Yeah. It's,
you know, like the first one she did, like the getting ice cream with John Kerry and sitting there on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Of course, she was the spokeswoman for Kerry at the State Department. So right. It was very cozy.
And she went to a diner with like Ossoff or Bowman or something like that.
She went to Andrew Weissman's apartment.
Yes.
You know, it's like, come on. You know, this is. We probably should have done more on that, or maybe we still will, but I think there's a lot of times people don't understand about this about us at Newsbusters, is that be like, Brent Bozell asked us yesterday, do we miss things? And I'm like, every minute, I mean,
yeah,
every hour, there's something.
I mean, it's just a function of staff size and priorities, and there's so many factors that go into this.
Well, and there's how much the readers could tolerate.
Right, yeah, you guys probably, you know, although you guys tune into Morning Joe, so, you know, it's totally fine.
Well, we try to select certain things that we think are sort of either make a larger point or are so bad that they just have to be pointed out. And so there's always going to be something we don't do. What they call cable news is so much cable talk. It's talk television. And it doesn't matter if it's Fox or CNN or MSNBC. It's largely talk. It's like so much of it is just talk.
And it's repeating the same sorts of things. This stuff with the Trump trial, especially because there's no cameras in the courtroom.
Right.
And they just kind of get these little tidbits. They kind of circle the drain for hours and hours, having heard only like based on one little thing they heard from a producer
or
in the room.
Maggie Haberman said she thinks he fell asleep.
Right. And so they're desperate to cling on to anything. I mean, that's the difference they mentioned, you know, with like OJ, whereas like you had the trial, it was on TV, you know, whereas I feel like if the Fani Wills trial ever happens, that's going to be camera.
That'll be wall to wall.
And they'll just dump in. They'll dump out. They'll just let it go. Whereas with this, it's like, I can only take so many days of Laura Coates and Paula Reid just sitting there on some like high chairs.
Well,
like on a blocked off lane of New York City street outside the courthouse.
This is what
vamping.
This is what they know that their audience wants. But yes, it's a low information environment, and they're trying to fill up the space.
I mean, it's a study that we've done in the past in Newsbusters where it's like, how much is actually news?
Yes, exactly. And it was like 80% of it was talk. And certainly the Trump trial, you know, yeah, there's nothing live to go to. And they're left with these, well, they said one of the jurors has an Irish accent.
It's very staid. It's very boring. You know, and this is one of the things I've always had, especially under Zucker. This was a huge problem at CNN. Lick tried to get away from this, and everyone hated him for it, which is, especially on cable, you're only going to cover a couple of stories, especially CNN and MSNBC, to cover only a couple of stories a day, only a couple stories an hour. Or what happens is you'll talk about the same thing for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then, you know, they'll come back from break at, I don't know, 11:53 a.m. and they'll zoom through like three or four news briefs. And you're like, was this really news?
Right.
And the ratings based on this is like, and Fox News is very similar. This is what people want. This is what you guys want, allegedly.
Well,
whereas like you go to networks like News Nation, or you go to shows like Bret Baier's show, where it's like, it's still a formal newscast. That there's panels involved, but it's not the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, and there's a, you could say in the hour there were 12 different topics. I mean, that is what we expected cable news to be, and it's not really the way they are now. Let's try to make this point now as we wrap the comparison of the Trump trial What did you have in terms of your, you're working on account.
Yeah, I've just been doing account just to, so this will be new for you guys. So far, I started the count at Monday morning.
Which we know they did a whole bunch of pre-game, but that's
that's
the right start
date. To start it, I decided to do that, even though they've been vamping and talking about it for a few days now. Trump filed last-minute appeals. But through Friday morning, we're looking at 96 minutes and 8 seconds on the morning and evening shows of ABC, CBS, and NBC. Not surprisingly, Tim, first is ABC News with 42:28 of that.
Because they love that split screen.
They love that split screen. Stephanopoulos is all about it. They love, you know, Dan Abrams, Rachel Scott, all those people. Jonathan Carl, very excited. John Carl's got another book to write. I'm sure he does. He's very excited. Second, a little ways down, NBC with about half an hour, 30 minutes and 40 seconds. NBC, especially on the Today Show, I feel like they do try to cover multiple stories, but a lot of it is fluff. But they'll cover, you know, they'll try to consolidate everything into like one story. They'll have Laura Jarrett do the voiceover and the analysis so that they can kind of keep things moving.
Yeah, because they have to get to, you know, 5 minutes of screaming about the new Taylor Swift album. Oops.
Right, exactly. Yes, or Carson Daly and Savannah drinking. CBS in last place with 23 minutes, which is interesting because... CBS Evening News doesn't even really do teases anymore. They just kind of, they do one thing in the tease and then they kind of cold start the show.
Mm-hmm.
In CBS Mornings, that's not that surprising. CBS Mornings, in their second hour, they very much turn into a CBS Sunday morning where they might do a new story over again. They might not. They might just plunge right into long form.
All right.
Interest stories.
So... do we have a Mayorkas number? Didn't we have, it was around 10 minutes?
Yeah. It's
roughly.
Something.
So it's like 96 to 10.
It's just very, it's very minimal. The coverage, not surprisingly again here, ABC News, while they were the biggest, mouth breathers for Trump.
For Biden, you mean.
For Biden, yeah against Trump. The same thing was true here with Mayorkas. You know, Stephanopoulos, of all people, had to call it partisan.
Yeah.
It sounds like those old sound bites you guys would have of like Ken Starr or Dan Rather talking about
the Republican Independent Council.
Stephanopoulos was like the partisan impeachment.
And then, of course, Rachel Scott was like, yeah, it's going to be over soon. Let's run a clip of this so you can see what we're talking about.
And Rachel, the partisan House impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is heading out of the Senate, but it's all for show now.
Yeah, and this really could be over very quickly. Look, Republicans want a full trial. They impeach Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over his handling of the border, but it is Democrats who control the Senate, and they point out there is no evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors, that this is all over a policy dispute, and they'll be looking to dismiss these charges very quickly, George.
Now, Curtis, let's go back. I went back in the archives to George Stephanopoulos. Back in the week before Christmas 2019 on the Ukraine impeachment attempt. That was apparently not a partisan impeachment.
Very serious.
Scott Whitlock took it down at the time. Here's a quote from Stephanopoulos. We just heard President Trump overnight calling this an eternal mark of shame for Democrats. But how concerned is he behind closed doors that impeachment will be an indelible mark on his record?
Oh, yes, okay. Well, and the thing is, the networks, they were all very, Wolf Blitzer speaking in very hushed tones when the impeachment articles were walked across the Capitol from the House side to the Senate side. And this is such a solemn occasion. Now, make the Jake Tapper argument that, well, you know, just like she does with, he thinks it's fine, Stacey Abrams said her election was stolen because she was just running for governor. She was, it's nothing. She was just basically just running.
It's not that they're different parties.
She was running for dog catcher. Who cares?
Yeah.
Trump, he was running for president. Yes, this was the impeachment of a president versus a cabinet secretary. However, what is unique is this, presidents have been impeached far more often have been impeached far more recently. You had Clinton, you had two with Trump.
Yeah.
Whereas with the cabinet secretary.
Yeah, it's not as.
It was the Civil War was the last time that happened.
Well, and you can argue that this wasn't the right way to do it because people can do that. Republicans can disagree on whether this was the right move.
Or it could have been done years ago.
But they were trying to do, I think, just the same way they have a Biden impeachment inquiry. It's like, we're going to use these terms because the Democrats did, and we want to underline how important this is, and we want to drive a negative angle on this.
With subpoena power, too.
Yeah, and of course, the Democrats are still going to say, this is just a partisan mess. I mean, and this is, once again, you have a hard time explaining media bias to your friends or family members who are not as media savvy, which is, they present the proceedings against Trump as very serious, as historic, as a criminal fraud trial. They use all the darkest words they can imagine. Mm-hmm. And they present it as nonpartisan. And then you switch the other way and it's all like, this partisan crap about Mayorkas.
Yeah, I mean, the other point I had with Gayle King this week, my story, she was like, she's just afraid this is just flying over people's heads because this is so unprecedented. Like, people need to care. And this is one of the biggest pet peeves I have with the news media, when they are mad that the American public doesn't feel the way they do about certain stories.
That's because,
that, like, they don't care. Well, the American public doesn't care about this as much as we do.
They're saying, we are mad because all of our propaganda isn't working.
Right.
That's what they're mad about.
Yeah, exactly. That you, again, we go back to one of the things we started this podcast with. You know, what did the media do in 2023 when it came to the campaign? They focused on the Trump trials. They didn't focus on policy because they want this election to be about Trump. They want this to be a referendum on Trump. They don't want this to be a referendum on Joe Biden. We're going to treat Trump like he's still in the White House. And Joe Biden is somehow like the challenger,
yeah,
and the underdog,
yeah,
and that's the way they want it to be, and they also want it to be with a side order of abortion.
Yes, they get very excited about that. So I mean, I think that any issue that they think this is a winner for Democrats, we know inflation's not a winner for Democrats, immigration's not a winner for Democrats, and then they're like, "Hoo-hoo, abortion's
right,
a winner."
Which I should—it's an important note that I try to make, and you try to make too, which is when it comes to policies, and you talk about things the media don't want to talk about, like some of these bad economic indicators and the border. Do not try to. If you're having this discussion or posting on your social media accounts, to say that the media aren't covering this at all is false. It is incorrect. That's how you're going to get whacked. A liberal could just very easily come back and say it's covered. It is much more nuanced than that. They downplay it, yes. Shorter stories, yes. What's missing is the framing of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
They are not covered to the same degree. You'll get 4 minutes on a Trump trial versus, I don't know, 40 seconds on it in the economic report. So that's a huge disparity in its own right. And then when it comes to the who, what, where, when, why, and how, Biden is not going to be, Democrats are not going to be president. All these fast food stories, you know, that you had in California about labor costs soaring. Why? Well, why is that? Well, the state enacted the minimum wage. Well, which party is in control in California? Those things are not mentioned in these stories. Whereas with Trump, you get into all the granular details.
This is exactly right. And I think that, you know, they can get upset that people aren't accepting all the media bias. And they can try to say that somehow this means that people aren't taking Trump's legal troubles seriously. And what they're not willing to admit is that some voters would say, we think Biden's doing a terrible job. We remember Trump's presidency as a better time than this. And that just drives them insane. Look, this is the way we are in every election cycle here at the Media Research Center.
Yeah.
And that is they're trying their darndest to get those Democrats elected. Everybody knows it. But this is why you come here we can show you. Speaking of granular, we're going to be here on the ground day after day, including on the weekends, trying to notify you of the way the news media is trying to drive the Democrat narrative and trying to crush any hope Republicans have of winning national elections of any kind. This is why you come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.